Life Audio.
Christian Parent Crazy World with Catherine Seegers is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. I am your host, Catherine Seegers, and in today's episode, we will tackle this very timely question. Why are so many Gen Zers leaving the faith? You know, it is so important that we understand the primary reasons why young people are leaving the faith if we want to help them return to the faith. New research tells us why young people are bailing on Christianity. So in today's episode, we will cover the seven most prominent reasons Gen Zers cite for walking away from the Christian faith. That's the plan for this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World. So let's get started.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Today, I am airing an interview that I had recently on the Redeeming the Chaos podcast with Laurie Christine. Laurie Christine is an author, podcast host, biblical parenting coach, wife, and mom of four loud, adventurous boys. Her podcast, Redeeming the Chaos, invites moms of boys to join her on the wild, wonderful adventure of raising courageous boys and connecting them with Christ. So, I had Laurie on Christian Parent Crazy World late last year in an episode on Advent that just went viral, totally shocked me. And I went on her show to talk about the youth exodus, why so many kids are leaving the faith and what we can do to prevent that. And finally, how to parent the prodigal child if you find yourself in that situation. It was an awesome interview. And Laurie has graciously allowed me to air that interview over here on CPCW. Thank you so much, Laurie. So in this episode, we will cover those first two objectives. There is new research out from Barna that tells us why Gen Z is leaving the Christian faith. I'm going to highlight that research in the interview and discuss some ways that we can better prepare our younger children. Then in the next episode, which is the second half of my interview on Redeeming the Chaos, I will get very specific on how to go about parenting the prodigal child. If you tuned in to the last episode, you heard my very personal revelation of how this is a part of our parenting journey right now. It is possible to do everything within your power to train your children biblically, and yet they still may struggle to make the faith their own. I know so many parents in this boat right now, myself and my husband included. So you are not alone if you are one of those parents. Thank you for tuning in, by the way. I really appreciate you being here. One of the primary missions of Christian Parent Crazy World from the start has been helping parents of prodigals or parents of kids who are doubting or are struggling in their faith. So these next two episodes will provide critical support to those parents who are walking that road. Don't forget to subscribe at KatherineSegers.com to get my prodigal bundle if you are parenting or grandparenting a child who is struggling in their faith or may have left the faith entirely. I have a bundle of incredible resources for you, including prayer lists, all of my podcasts and articles on this topic, and one easy-to-access resource. If you already have that, you might want to recheck it from time to time because I keep updating it with new information. One last note. Please stick around till the end of the episode. I have some final thoughts where I'm going to repeat those seven reasons Gen Zers are leaving the faith and offer some resources that will help you if that is the reason your child or loved one has left the faith. So with that said, let's jump right in.
Katherine Seegers, welcome to Redeeming the Chaos.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's so fun having you here on my show because a few months ago I was on your show and had the privilege of being interviewed there. So I'm excited to have you here with us today. Tell us really quickly about your family. Tell us about your kids.
We have five kids. My husband and I, we've been married 28 years. So we're going strong. And he's my best friend, Brian. And we've got five kids, ages 18 to six. So they're 18, 15, 13, 9, and 6. We do homeschool. And as you mentioned, we've got girl, boy, girl, boy, girl. So I've got two boys and three girls. We spaced them just far enough apart to make it really hard to pass down the clothes. So yeah, that was a little frustrating. And then I also podcast. I have a podcast with Life Audio. It's called Christian Parent Crazy World. We tackle tough theological, relational, apologetic issues, cultural topics for parents because we're living in a really, really crazy world. I also write for Crosswalk and I Believe, Bible Study Tools, Christian Headlines, and some other online Christian publications.
So we are going to be talking today, as I mentioned in the intro, we're going to be talking about parenting the prodigal, what to do when our kids are walking away from the faith as they start to grow older, and then what we can do to prevent that. So to start off, why do you think, Katherine, so many kids are falling away from the faith as they enter adulthood?
Well, we are living in a very crazy culture, a very anti-Christian culture. We're a post-modern world, post-Christian world. So everything our kids encounter when they leave our homes is designed, I think, by the God of this world to lead them away from the faith, from God, from their creator. So I would have said, you know, a number of years ago, one of the first things I would have mentioned with that question would be the lack of a strong spiritual foundation sometimes can be what leads kids away. That would probably have been my answer a few years ago, top answer. And that is a major factor. I'm not going to lie. A lot of times Christian parents leave it up to the church to entirely see to it that our kids have a spiritual biblical foundation. But what we have learned recently, I was just looking up some statistics about this last night. The American Worldview Inventory in 2022 revealed that only 37% of pastors have a biblical worldview.
Wow.
37%. I know, it's crazy. And the evangelical church, it's just 51%. That means that half of the churches out there, even in the evangelical world, which is known to have, you know, more of a biblical foundation quite often, half of those pastors don't have a biblical worldview. So if you're leaving it up to the church, they're supplemental. Of course, we need to be involved in our churches. We're not to forsake the fellowship, the gathering of the saints together. We need to be invested in our churches. But if you're leaving it up to your church, that's not going to get the job done, even if it is in the half of evangelical churches or the, you know, 37% of other churches that may have a biblical worldview. But if you're wanting, if that's your goal, and that's my goal, and I believe that's your goal as well, Lori, to have children that have a biblical foundation, then if you're leaving it up to the church, make sure you're in a church that has a biblical worldview, first and foremost. That would be really important. But also, they're intended to be a supplement to what we have in our home. They're not supposed to be the entire formation of our children's spiritual walk. Should not be coming from the church. They need to see that
in our homes. Another reason, though, as I mentioned, is our culture is relentless and pervasive. Our kids are, it wasn't too long ago when I was a child. I was raised in the 80s. It wasn't too long ago that you just didn't encounter all of these different types of worldviews on a daily basis. Our kids, with social media and with the internet, they're engaging with people from all over the world. They have all of these ideas that are coming to them. So we need to be prepared with some answers. We need to make that a part of their spiritual foundation, is they understand, okay, what is a pantheistic worldview? What is a secularistic worldview? What do these other types of religions believe? What does my faith teach me? What is distinctive about my faith? If they don't have those questions answered, they're easy picking out there, because we do not live in a little house on a prairie anymore. But too often, we have not, as parents and the church, done a good job of answering the tough questions, specific issues. Like, one of the biggest issues, if you look at Barna Research, which they do a ton of research on these topics, is the prevalence of evil and suffering in the world and reconciling that to a good God. That is the number one reason that Gen Zers list as why they left the faith. They have a hard time believing that a good God would allow so much evil or suffering in the world. I actually did an episode on my show with Dr. Douglas Grotius, who is brilliant. He wrote he's written over 18 books and has written a Christian apologetics textbook. Apologetics, by the way, if your listeners don't know, it's just a word which means a defense of the faith. So being prepared, as we're told to in the New Testament, we need to always be prepared to give a defense for our faith. So we did an episode 66, and why does a good God allow so much evil and suffering in the world? So being able to answer those types of questions. But let me just read a couple more of these. That was the number one reason that Gen Z had for leaving the faith. The second reason, 23, that was at 29%. 23% of Gen Zers said that Christians are hypocrites. That's why they have left the faith. And there's a lot of truth to what we see sometimes with some Christian leaders and things that we see in big Christian institutions. 20% of Gen Z believes that science refutes too much of the Bible. So we really need to be having conversations in our homes and our churches about, okay, what does science teach us? And does that really conflict with the Bible? 19% of Gen Z says that they don't believe in fairy tales and they see the Bible as being a fairy tale. 15% believes that there are too many injustices in the history of Christianity. And there's some truth to that. We need to own where the church has gotten it wrong. And the church has gotten it wrong in a number of instances throughout church history and currently. And finally, 6% had a bad experience in the church with a Christian. So all of those reasons combined, I say, has led us to a place in the church as Christian parents where a majority of kids are leaving the faith when they leave the nest. They're going off to college. Some, even in their high school experience, are leaving the faith. They just don't believe it anymore.
Wow, some of those statistics are really staggering. Just some of those reasons that Gen Z is leaving, and our responsibility as parents. I mean, we talk about that on this show all the time. One of the theme verse of Redeeming the Chaos is from Psalm 78 that says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." And so that each generation should set its hope anew on God and not forget his miracles and his commands. So I feel like it's such a heavy weight on us as parents to be passing on those truths to our children. And like you said, we can't just rely on Sunday school teachers or the pastor. I mean, even if you are at an amazing Christ-centered biblical church, even then, you can't just drop your kids off on Sunday morning and expect that the church is going to do all of the training for you. You know, we do have that responsibility. I can't believe, 50% of evangelical pastors don't even have a biblical worldview.
So, I can send you a link for those statistics too, if you really go into it, because they go into what youth pastors believe and associate pastors. And so being able to see that and making sure that your children's programs and your youth programs are biblical. That's critically important because you don't want them undermining what you're doing in your home either, obviously, because if are doing a good job at home and then they're going to church and you don't know, well, this is what we talked about in the youth group and you don't know. And making sure they're talking about all the topics that are critically important in this day and age. We left a church a little over a year ago, year and a half ago, because they just weren't addressing the issue of sexuality in the church. They weren't talking about it. This was an issue in the youth group. This was an issue in my kids' friend circles. We went to three different leaders in the church, three different leaders, and say, ask them, what are you doing? Because this is something we're facing. This is something our kids are facing. They have friends that are struggling in these areas. What are you doing to help us? And we were told three separate times. This is an evangelical church that is biblical, by the way. They didn't believe anything unbiblical. But I said, what are you doing to help counteract this? And they said, well, if the kids want to come to us and have a private conversation about it, we'll share what the Bible says on that. But we're not going to do it public. We're not going to do it from the pulpit. And I'm like, that answer isn't good enough because they are getting bombarded every single day from the world about their identity and about their sexuality. And if you're not talking about that, if you're putting the onus on the child to come to you, I'm like, that's not good enough. So we left. We walked. Mm. And I don't do that lightly. We're not church hoppers, but at a certain point you're like this, and it wasn't the only issue there. And I won't say that it was, but it was a major one. And that was a deal breaker for us. I'm like, our kids are struggling with this. And if you're not supporting what I'm doing in my home and what I'm teaching in my home actively, then we're out of here because I need to be in a place that is supporting what I'm doing and that is teaching them the truth of who God created them to be. So yeah, I'll send you links to those statistics and that research.
Yeah, that would be great. And that whole topic of sexuality, we don't have time to get into it today. Maybe I'll have you back to do a whole nother interview because
I'd be happy to. I've got many episodes on that and I'm going to be creating a bundle on that. We just finished up three episodes with a woman named Melinda Patrick on how to parent a child who's struggling in this and what certain evangelical churches are doing. There's a huge faction in the evangelical community that is embracing either the LGBTQ identity or embracing it altogether and saying that it's God's design. Some are just saying it's part of a person's identity, even though it's not his design. And some are saying, you know, this is in the evangelical church, major portions of that. So we need to be aware of that as parents and know what our churches are teaching.
Yeah, for sure. Our church actually just did a whole day seminar. My husband attended on teaching our kids biblical sexuality. And it was addressing all of those questions and all those issues. So as you were mentioning that, I'm just like feeling thankful for the church that I do attend and their approach to being grounded on the Bible and being approaching these hard issues from a biblical worldview.
It's tough, but if we're not, you don't want the only voice they're hearing is coming from their culture and their parents, you know, because, you know, at a certain point, and our kids start to tune us out a little bit, you know, because they're hearing what their friends are saying. They're hearing what our culture is saying. And it's not that our voices don't matter, but they've heard our voices from the beginning of their time. And so that we need those other voices that are speaking into their lives to be biblical on that topic and every topic.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. As our kids get older and older, we need to make sure that they are hearing from other respected adults who can speak into their lives because, you know, we lay the foundation, but they get to a point where they're like, you know, I don't think that mom's opinion is that important. But when they hear it from somebody else that's reinforcing those same truths, then they're like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. I'm like, yeah, I've been telling you this for years and now you're finally understanding.
Absolutely.
But so, Catherine, what are some of the things that we can do when our children are young? So I want to talk about a couple of different age ranges here. I know that you mentioned this on some of your podcast episodes. I want to talk about what we can do when our kids are young. And then I want to talk about like teenage years, like if perhaps our kids are already showing signs of like wandering away from the faith or rebelling against Christianity. And then what to do if we have an adult child who is not walking with the Lord. So let's start with while they're young, they're in our house. What are some things that we can do to help improve the chances that they will stay with the Lord as they enter adulthood?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, great question. Before we get into that, I wanted to say, you had mentioned earlier, this is heavy. This is heavy, but mm-hmm. I want to encourage parents, you're not doing this alone. Yeah. You are not doing this alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. He knew the day and the time the age that your child would be born in and you would be. And you're here. We're all here for such a time as this. So God is with us in this arduous task of raising children in a post-Christian, post-modern world where your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth and never the twain shall meet. And there are other like-minded Christians that we can band with and walk with in this journey as well. So as our kids are younger, obviously starting them off in the Word, having devotions with your kids, they, you know, up until a certain point, they can't read on their own. We are the source of life for them. We need to be making sure that every day we're with them and helping them have the Word of God. That's their daily bread. So obviously, I think we kind of know that, but life can get busy, right? And if you have your kids in a private school or in a public school, you know, I happen to homeschool. So that's just a part of our homeschool day. But if it's not, if you're not a homeschooler, if they're in some other educational setting, making sure you're taking time every day to talk about that. And then I would advise certainly getting a curriculum for your kids to really walk through the foundational principles of what we believe. I've been using a curriculum recently. It's called Foundation Worldview, which I'm really loving with my kids. It's by Elizabeth Urbanowicz, and she's come on my show several times to talk about her curriculum, and I just think it's fabulous. They've got it divided into different age groups, too. I think it's, I don't remember exactly the delineation. I want to say it's up till about 8 or 9 is the younger. It's a Christian apologetics curriculum where they teach them the attributes of God and how the foundational aspects of what we believe. And then they've got like more of a middle school or a middle grade curriculum. And then they've got some that are for the older kids. And then there's other things that you can do as they get older. But I definitely trying to find some ways to engage with your kids throughout the day, throughout the week with having these conversations. Get a book and walk through it. I did an Apologia series a while back on what we believe. And I love that series. I thought it was great. There are 4 different books. It was a bit of an investment, but it was definitely a worthwhile investment. So look at towards ways like that. One thing that is critically important, hiding the Word of God in your kids' hearts, prioritizing scripture and scripture memory. The cool thing about kids and even adults to some degree, but kids memorize. They're engaging in so much information and taking in so much information. It's easier for them to memorize than it is sometimes when we get older. I memorized the books of the Old Testament when I was young, but not the big books of the New Testament. And I always struggled as an adult to memorize the New Testament. But I always had the Old Testament, which, I mean, of the two, let's face it, they're harder. I mean, some of those Old Testament books are a little wacky. The names are, and they're, but I memorized them as a young child. So engaging with scripture memory with your kids, and the best way to do that, whether you're a kid or an adult, I am so big on this, is using scripture songs. I actually offer a bunch of scripture songs. My background was musical, but I create scripture songs. I have some free ones on my website. If you subscribe, that will come to you where your kids can learn scripture songs. I'll just go on YouTube right now. I'm currently learning Psalm chapter 8. And I found a beautiful scripture song on it. So I'm memorizing it that way. And I'm helping my kids to memorize it as well. We did all of Psalm 91 as a family, learned that entire chapter. I've got a lot of people sometimes are like, oh, wow, you know so much scripture. I'm like, no, I can learn a song. And I can tell you right now, I can tell you almost every word to Don't Stop Believing by Journey back in the 80s. I was a big Journey fan. But if you can teach your kids 3 blind mice, you know, that old nursery rhyme, then you can teach your kids a scripture song. And if it's set to music, and if you're not good at that, you know, I happen to be pretty good at that. If you're not good at it, there are other people out there, Seeds Family Music, I think, or Worship. I'm not sure. Seeds Family something. I could send you, I actually have a list of them. I could send you a list, but that is so important. And just make it a point. You can easily memorize a verse in a week, if not more than a verse in a week. And we just periodically will be in the car and we're singing scripture songs. And I'm making sure that my kids have those memorized. We did that with the books of the Bible too. I did finally, by the way, memorize the books of the New Testament because I had a really cool song that helped me to memorize them all. So I've got all the books of the Bible memorized. So I think that's a really important part, especially as our kids are younger. But as they get older, making sure we're engaging with them and having conversations with them about what's happening in their life and their world and the culture, having those conversations about their sexuality, having those conversations about the evil that exists in the world and how to reconcile that with a good God. You know, what is it about our theology, you know, as they get older in their teen years, how does the Christian worldview explain the existence of evil? Does that make more sense than the pantheistic worldview, which tends to say that there's just enlightened and unenlightened behavior and there's not really good and evil? Does that make sense when you see what Hamas just did to Israel and babies in Israel and the Gaza Strip? Do we not look at that and say, well, that's evil? I think we know it's evil. That wasn't just unenlightened behavior. So taking those opportunities as they get older, that's the priority of your day. I know we all have to make money. I know we all have to fold clothes. I know we all have to get in the kitchen and cook dinner. But the important part of your day is engaging with your child's spirit and speaking into them, you know, those kind of truths. So when one of those conversation comes up, that trumps everything. That trumps everything. We'll have a late dinner. The laundry will go unfolded. We might be late to another event if it's not super important. But we had a conversation where I got to feed truth into my kid's spirit. Nothing's more important than that. So I always, always try to prioritize that, especially, you know, as my kids are getting older, because those opportunities are less and less. They're more self-directed in their education. And so I'm not having those conversations with them all day. So I'm always actively looking and praying for those. And that would be one of the there's so many other things I could list, but pray for your child. Pray for your child, your children, every single day, and look for those opportunities to feed their spirits. I often say we have a front row seat as parents to the lives of our children. God gave our kids to us for a reason. And I end every show saying it's because you hold the key to unlocking who your child was created to be. God gave you your child and he will whisper to you, hey, notice that? That's what's different about that child than any other child that you have or any other child in the world. That is something I placed in that child. And when I see that gift that the Lord gave my child, I've got one child who has an incredible intellectual gift. I speak into it when I hear it. I've got another child with a great gift of compassion. I speak into it. Every time I see that gift in operation, I speak prophetically into that gift. And when I'm doing that, I'm calling it forth and I'm saying, this is who God created you to be. And I am encouraging who God created them to be. So those are some of the tips I would say that can really help the spiritual formation of your child from the early moments of childhood with the curriculums that you can choose up through those critical conversations that you can have, all the while making sure that they're learning the word and having conversations about the word, and then obviously praying for your child and speaking into their spirits whenever those opportunities arrive, making sure that that's the priority of your day.
Wow. So many good things I went to respond to.
Sorry, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Okay. This is amazing. So yes, I want to check out that curriculum that you mentioned, the foundation worldview. It sounds really good.
There's a discount too. If you use, it's CPCW10 that she gave my listeners. So CPCW is a 10% discount if you're interested in it. I love it because there's a video component and you can print off the workbook. And we just work through it together. And she just came out with a new one on the attributes of God. And I've got a couple of, you could link to some of those episodes I did with her because she explains it all. It's great. She's spot on. She was an educator and was educating in Christian schools and discovered, well, these kids are not really processing what they're getting from the culture through a biblical lens. And so that's what she is passionate and gifted to do. She's extremely gifted to help our kids do that.
Yeah. And I think that's important to address some of those difficult questions and address our culture. You know, we spend so much time teaching the Bible, which absolutely 100% is important. But how does that Bible relate to our culture and how does it relate to our world? And how does our belief affect what is happening in the world and affect how we should be living in the world? So I think that's so good. And then I love that you talked about memorizing scripture. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot of times on this podcast, just the importance of having family Bible time, of having family devotions. I've got lots of resources available and I'll have some links in the show notes. But yes, songs are so powerful for memorizing scripture, even if they're silly, even if they're goofy, even if it's not like the most beautiful composition of music. It is amazing. I can tell you, when I was in college, there was a couple who led worship and they I wouldn't say they were the most fabulous musicians, but every day in chapel, they would play their own songs that they had written, and they were all directly from scripture.
I love that.
All of the lyrics were straight from scripture. And to this day, whenever I read that passage in scripture, whenever I come across certain passages in scripture, that song pops into my head and I can still sing it. Like, I know that song.
That's awesome.
And it's so powerful for our kids too. You know, even as an adult, you know, the fruit of the spirit, my kids know this song. Mm-hmm. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And I always have to sing through the song to remember what comes next. I'm like, oh, did I get them all? Yep. I sang the song and then I got it. So
I love using songs to learn scripture. So at this part of the interview, we kind of shifted gears and started talking more specifically about how do you parent a child who is on a prodigal path or may be struggling in their faith. We got really strategic about that. So I'm going to pick that back up in the next episode. But before we end this episode, I'd like to review the 7 reasons Gen Z is leaving the faith for you one more time and offer a few resources that you might want to check out if this is what your child or a child you know is struggling with. I'm going to link all of these resources in the show notes on Life Audio's website and on my website as well. First reason, Gen Z is leaving the faith. This is 29% of Gen Z responded saying, I have a hard time believing that a good God would allow so much evil or suffering in the world. Again, I covered this ground in episode 66 with Dr. Douglas Groh Tyson. I have a new episode on this topic coming up very soon with an apologist named Ruth Jackson from Across the Big Pond. So be looking for that episode. Second reason, 23% of Gen Z says that they left the faith because Christians are hypocrites. Well, okay, yes, hypocrites do sully the name of Christ, but hypocrites are in the Bible as well. Their existence does not deny the truth of who Christ is or what we believe. And let's face it, on some level, we are all hypocrites. We all fail to live up to what we believe. The good news is that Jesus died for broken, messed up people. So he died for hypocrites. You know, I like to visit this topic in the future because it is a big reason. The second reason why Gen Z is turned off by the church. So be looking for that. That will be coming out in the near future. All right. So third reason, 20% of Gen Z says, I believe science refutes too much of the Bible. If this is the reason your child is struggling in the faith, look into the work of Dr. Stephen Meyer, who wrote some amazing books like Signature in the Cell, The Return of the God Hypothesis, and Darwin's Doubt, just to name a few. And, you know, you could go on YouTube to be introduced to Dr. Stephen Meyer and just look him up. I love to watch clips of him defending the Christian faith scientifically. I could do that like all day long. I may have done that all day long sometimes. Love that guy. I also love listening to Dr. John Lennox, who is a mathematician from Oxford. I heard a debate with Dr. Lennox and Richard Dawkins that was amazing. It was on Dawkins' book, The God Delusion. Lennox crushed it. Seriously, I think he kind of wiped the floor with Dawkins. But anyways, look into some of his work as well. A fourth reason, 19% of Gen Z says, I don't believe in fairy tales. Now, a book like The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel might help to counteract the idea that the Bible is just a book of fairy tales. For those of you who aren't familiar with Lee Strobel, he was an award-winning journalist who was an atheist and his wife got saved. This did not sit well with him. So he set out to prove that the Bible was wrong, that it was essentially a fairy tale, and he ended up doing just the opposite. He came up with all of this evidence that proved the Bible is true. So he became a Christian and wrote a book containing all of that evidence called The Case for Christ. They actually have a kid's version now that I just started reading with my younger kids. It's so cool. You know, there are a lot of other great books out there on this topic as well. So write me if you have some suggestions and maybe I'll mention them on the show. That's a topic that I would really like to cover in a full episode. Fifth reason, 15% of Gen Z says that there are too many injustices in the history of Christianity. That is a topic I covered in episode 9, how the Christian worldview creates the world we all want to live in. And we also covered this ground in my recent trilogy of interviews with the great Oz Guinness. Those were episodes 93 through 95. In short, The Old Testament prophets were the first justice warriors in human history, and the greatest liberators in human history were Christians like William Wilberforce and Martin Luther King Jr. So we have a great track record with Christianity of liberation. So look into Oz Guinness's works. You will love what he has to say about that. Sixth reason, 12% of Gen Z says, I used to go to church, but it's just not important to me anymore. Yeah, that is concerning. If our church isn't addressing what is important to our kids, then maybe we aren't in the right church. As I mentioned in this episode, we left a church that wasn't addressing what our kids were facing in their peer groups. There are relevant churches out there who are making an impact in their communities. We need to introduce our kids to biblically sound, relevant churches where God's word is being preached truthfully in love. Not everyone wants to be in those kinds of churches because the truth is convicting. But that is the only kind of church that will lead you to freedom. Seventh reason, finally, 6% of Gen Z said, I had a bad experience in church with a Christian. Judgmental Christians can do a lot of damage in the church. So if that is what is causing the wound, you might want to check out a series I did a while back on CPCW. Those were episodes 39 through 42. Another book you might want to check out is When Narcissism Comes to Church, Healing Your Community from Emotional and Spiritual Abuse by Dr. Chuck DeGroat. Let me just say, I have read that book from cover to cover in about like 3 days, devoured it. So, so helpful when you have been wounded in the church by another believer. And frankly, that's going to happen at some point because church is a collection of broken people on a journey to sanctification. You can't be around the church too long without something like that happening, but we do need to know how to respond. Leaving the church is not the answer. Again, I'm going to post all of those links in the resources section of the show notes. By the way, sometimes the show notes on Life Audio get cut off if I have a lot of them because there is a character limit, but I do not have a character limit on my website, however, so you can always find all of my show notes there. Now, next time on Christian Parent Crazy World, I'm going to air the conclusion of my conversation with Laurie Christine. This is where we get very specific on how to parent a child who is struggling in their faith or may have left the faith altogether. In that conversation, I offer hard-earned critical guidelines that I have learned from firsthand experience. These guidelines are going to help you if you have a teen or a young adult child who is either struggling in their faith or walking the prodigal path. I do plan to actually write an article on this in the very near future as well. So also be sure to pick up that prodigal bundle. I'm going to be adding these episodes and any future articles to the podcast and article sections of that bundle as it continues to grow. And as always, feel free to send me an email if you need a compassionate ear and someone to pray for you and your child. You can reach me at Catherine@KatherineSegers.com. And you can get that bundle of resources for prodigal parents at my website, KatherineSegers.com. I want to thank you for joining me today. Look, I know there are a lot of things you could be listening to right now, and I really appreciate that you took this time to spend with me. I hope you will join me for my next podcast when we take aim at some aspect of our culture that threatens to derail our parenting and steal our kids' faith. If you enjoyed this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World, would you consider telling a friend and sharing it on social media and giving it a good review over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and following me on Facebook and Instagram? Oh, and maybe you could say that Christian Parent Crazy World is the best podcast you've ever heard in your entire life. Just a thought. And be sure to check out my website, which is KatherineSegers.com. That's Catherine with a C. I have lots of articles and resources there that will help you on your parenting journey. And if you subscribe, I will be sure to send you some really cool free stuff and notify you of future podcasts, articles, and blogs. I want to end this and every episode with a word of encouragement. God gave you your kids, your specific kids, for a reason. That's because you hold the key to unlocking who God created them to be. We'll see you next time.
Christian Parent Crazy World is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Often we believe our questions mean we don't have faith, but I believe Jesus loves our questions. Our questions are windows into heaven. I'm Caden Fabrizio, and on the Questions with Caden podcast, we ask and answer one question per episode as relevantly and biblically as possible. Questions about fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and so much more. Don't worry, your questions, they're not going to scare Jesus. So ask away. Listen and subscribe now at lifeaudio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.